time. I hope we all have copies of the program. Just a few things right at the start. One is to acknowledge our visitors, the public accounts committee from the city of Johannesburg, led by the acting chairperson, Councillor Rudolf Knight, over there. You are highly welcome to this. Secondly, I think DJ Moyan, to welcome and congratulate you on your appointment as the National Commissioner for the Department of Correctional Services. We had encountered in your previous life, and now here you are. Welcome and congratulations. Very, very important job to do. I will not say easy, but very important job to do. And wish you all of the best, and you can be sure of this Congress support for you in your work to ensure that there is a success. I wish also to say right at the beginning that we have received a letter from the Department of Child Development from the Office of the Minister to apologize for being here because she is chairing an anti-poverty meeting. And that is taken for today. Otherwise, like earlier in the year, she would have loved to be here to keep political assistance where necessary on some of the issues that have been discussed. Now, having said that, I wanted to send to our meeting and to request our everybody that let people of the lot of truth, as I always say, meeting is being recorded or when a phone rings, even if it's on silent, it affects the recording. I know members of parliament already know about this, but I'm not talking to them. And they comply. There's no non-compliance on this side. Right. We do our usual round. We request a Commissioner Moyan and his team to introduce themselves. And then to social development and FAFSA. And then we know, Congress, that today we also have the Special Investigative Unit, which we wish to welcome. They will also introduce themselves. Of course, National Treasury, as well as the Auditor General Office. And then members of Parliament introduce themselves. And then we can get going. I'm sure we will have an early day today. Commissioner Moran, down the hall.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members of SCOPA, colleagues, my name is Tom Moran. I'm the National Commissioner of Correctional Services. Accompanying me today are three colleagues on my
left. I think if you can allow them to follow us, comment.
morning, honorable members of this commission. My name is Matumi Malachi. I'm the head of legal section of the department, as well as the anti-corruption team. Thank you.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Michael Macomb. I'm the special advisor to the Ministry of Corporate Services.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, thank you very much. My name is Prosperi Matamsela, Director General of the Department of Social Development.
Morning, honorable members, my name is Dr. Kopagade, the CEO of the South African Social Security Agency.
Good morning, honorable members, Chairperson. My name is Sandy Flavian.
Morning to the honourable members of the chair, Nupo Yoke, the Chief Information Officer of the Department.
Morning, Jay. I'm the advisor to the Minister of Social Development. Planning is very bad.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Maseka Etati. Head of communication.
Good morning. I'm Salomon Zerma, head of comprehensive social security.
Good morning, honorable members. Popo Fukin, CFO for SASA.
Honourable Chair and members, my name is Karol Kutaki. I'm responsible for governance and risk management at the Special Investigating Unit.
Honourable Chair and members, my name is Mike Campbell. I'm the Program Manager of the Special Investigating Unit.
Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Roland Wilson. I'm responsible for strategy and performance.
And the
chair and the forensic lawyer in the SIA. Karen Singh, Special Investigating
Unit. Thank you very much. Mr. President,
what do I represent? My name is Daniel Sanfilia from National Security.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Jan Breitema, National Security.
Right, thank you very much. Also the general office, today you are sitting in a very unfamiliar position, but not that you are always part of the team.
That's fine.
Well, morning, honorable chair and the committee members. My name is Mr. Samwat, responsible for the policy of social development, staff, and correctional services.
Morning, honorable chair and members. My name is Solomon Jian. I'm a senior manager responsible for the Department of Correctional Services.
Thank you very much. Can we have members introduce themselves?
My name is Narayan Singh, I'm a member of CROPA.
Good morning, I'm Mark Steele, member of CROPA.
Good morning, I'm Lorraine Machian, member of CROPA.
Good morning, my name is.
Good morning, I'm Peter Julius, member of CROPA.
Very nice to meet you.
But I will head over to Comrade Malale, as indicated in our program to start with the BASA department and clarify that the FIU is not here to answer questions. They are here to assist both of us in terms of giving context and maybe better explanation. Otherwise, it is not their responsibility beyond investigation and making the conversation. So I want us to be clear that there are questions to be answered. This is the department that I am here to do. Mr. Malan?
Thank you, Chair and colleagues. I think I'm going to focus on two specific that is in the need of grants by applicants, and secondly, a receipt of grants illegally by public sector. And I would like to ask SASA to just explain as to what has been the discovery by the FIU in relation to public servants that are receiving grants unlawfully, and what are the problems that have been undertaken by the public servants to take criminal action against people, disciplinary action against people, and indeed give detailed. No, I will catch up with them.
Well, we must be able to catch up with you as well. Okay? Have you got the gist of his question? Yeah, can we respond?
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable member. Question covers two types of recipients, the public servants as well as other beneficiaries from private sector and the general public. So definitely we work very well with the FIU. I understand that it has been indicated that a certain number of public servants are receiving this grant. What SASA does when this information is received, they unpack it further and do an analysis of the, because it indicates a potential problem, which is through matching various databases, they will pick up that those people share common personal numbers, that are those as well as the ID numbers. Now, public servants, some of them have a right to receive a grant. There are two types that I will mention to the committee. If the public servants who are earning a salary that is below the minimum threshold, could be at the level of cleaner and all those lower levels in the structure of the public service. The second category is the people who are receiving foster care grants that has been given an order by the court to foster children. That grant is not being tested.
Yes.
So the category that is receiving is legal.
Okay.
That's fine. Okay, sure. So now the total number of public servants that were identified to be receiving this grant illegally, where disciplinary cases were drafted, was, that would be the correct number, yes, Chairperson. Can you give us a point? That's the correct number. Yes, the total number of cases of Party 7 was, this is now the figure that we have as a breakdown
for end of June, I recommend that was 51,248 for public service. Now, out of that, the 9,212 were taken to court. They were formally charged. You'll remember, Chairperson, the court also has certain limitations. I would have laughed that they take all 12,000 let it go. Now, out of the 9,212, we had convictions of 7,582. And those who have not been taken to court, which means those who have, because they are those who are earning quite a little money, which we agree with the proposal from the FIU that they must pay that money back. So 23,644 signed the acknowledgement of debt. That is now the figure for the public service. Then disciplinary cases then were forwarded to the department that those people were in. Some they are in the provincial government department. So letters were sent to the premier offices, and they were also sent to various ministries for those people to be disciplined internally. Now, the...
Can I ask you, Chair, the figures that we are receiving are not the same as the figures that we received from the FIU. Is there a discrepancy? Can we please have some clarity on that?
Yeah, I think that can come later. Yeah. It's a moving average, Chair. As I indicated, this was January figures. Perhaps the FIU can indicate when those figures were. Because in total, I have different figures in June, which I can give as well. From January to June, what is the total cumulative number?
Well, I'm sure that we would want the latest information. I mean, in this August, if you give us the most theory, I'm not sure if that would give us the totality of the picture.
Yeah,
and like you are saying, the figures could be, you know, would be moving. It might have been the figures we have from the FIU are minus an additional 1 month that you have. So,
yeah.
As long as the figures are not woefully low, I would love them to go up. Not that I want more people to go off, but to
continue. That is precisely the topic on this than what we have received.
Okay, fine. Let us finish and then we can then go down to the
question. Let me just take a second on the time frame that is very good. If our new figures were for the time period from 2005 up to now, I'm not sure what time frame you're talking about.
Yes, it's from 2005 to January 2010. The figure from up to June, total cases investigated is 79,406. That's more than what you highlighted. Cases brought before court is 15,921. That's also more than, as you see, this is now June figures, which are combined. I've asked the staff to split also between public servants and others, in order to get exactly the comparative figures for public servants as a tool. Number of cases finalized is 15,060 as a tool, and number of convictions is 13,814 as a tool. So we have still acknowledgement of debt. This is 36,000 with a total value of 202.2 million, and what we collected is 71.8 million, of which 50.5 million has already been paid over to the Department of Social Development. The first court cases, then the question was internal disciplinary processes. I need to also highlight that the civil servants, the reason they were prosecuted, in terms of the indemnity that was given by the former minister of Korea, they were not part of the indemnity. So action has always been taken against the civil servants. And then we handed over those, what you call civil servants to various departments. In December 2009, I have 28,536 civil servants were reviewed, of which 17,122 were appended in the current payment system, so that one registered case is reported to the rest department. Now, what the agency did, as I was still explaining before I was interrupted, sent those to the then we had both departments receiving the letter from the agency's CEO there, as well as the senior offices were sent for them to deal with the department that are affected at the provincial level. We got a feedback from the South of Central Services for those staff that we sent to them. All other departments did not give feedback. They cited confidentiality of the information. Part of the public entity, they don't have an obligation to respond and give that information to us. Now, I'm told that Papa then took the matter up to the Department of Public Service and Administration so that they can assist, because they have the authority over the department when it comes to disciplinary cases, to get that information back. And also, the report was submitted by the minister recently to the new Interministerial Committee on Anti-Fraud and Corruption. And the recommendation was that the IMC should be able to monitor those departments and the progress in terms of the dealing with the those disciplinary cases. So, Chairperson, I must stop there and let the further follow-up question.
Do I have any feedback from the Department of Public Safety and Administration in terms of the problem that is being registered by department, one department, and that is not action?
Well, I've been informed that the response that was received from the CBSA when that inquiry was made was citing the fact that the person was dealing with those cases was no longer in the employ. So it sounded like capacity problems within the department. So we haven't really had feedback, which is why we put the matter up to the INC to really get it on the agenda so that this can be monitored in terms of, we know for sure some of them have been paying taxes, and gave an example of some, and some were actually expelled from the public service. But we are concerned as much ourselves that the action doesn't seem to be enough, because those people must still be in the various departments working. Some of them necessarily get dismissal as a pension. They do get suspended sentences without pay. Some they get final written warnings, we are told. But I can even ask my colleague to assist with the detail of the actual actions, because we've got a database of the detail of the actions that have been and the respective sanctions that have been imposed. Well, we did analyze information on social development, and many of them were in the provincial social development department. There were about 200 cases of SASA that were also picked up, and those were also disciplined. There were various sanctions that were given to those people.
Let's give your committee a sense of the sanctions that they were meted out.
If you allow me, the head of the unit, because this information in detail.
The current infection is there from one case to the next, because we should be understood that each case is looked at and the different merits are considered. So the sanctions letters range from final version only to dismissal, depending on the outcome of the case and the people who decided over the case. So some got the final version only, others got a great dismiss from some. But the process was started actually by the Department of Social Development, the provincial department, and then handed over to the Department of Social Development.
Thank you.
I can hear that you will not have the
was the committee would like to see that there isn't any laxity on the part of the state to deal with people that are defrauding the state. And that is very crucial for us to assess how really the environment is, what is the challenge. That information is required. I also know that you have this with you or the, you would like to provide and make a
decision. We actually do have a report here, but unfortunately the report, the consolidated report of all the misconduct cases, which all then includes the grant fraud misconduct. But the report then is distributed to the committee after this.
I think what we're interested in is Department of Development specific cases. I suppose you say we have so many cases, we have taken so many to not a process, so many were given to the warning, so many were dismissed, so that we don't generalize and provide information to your entity and the department. I think that is the kind of detail that we want. Otherwise, a generic one that says, this is farm, wood, farm, I won't say anything. That's the detail that we want. You can just talk to me, yes, and get the report to the person, just tell us how many people were involved, how many have been dismissed, how many have been in whatever country they were.
Thank you, sir. As I mentioned, that the report that I had in front of me covers all the aspects of this conduct, not necessarily only social grants. So if this does not disintegrate, there are these social grant cases. But there are cases, other cases like, you know, missing the state vehicles is also this conduct. So
I would imagine that the NGO coming here from the misconduct in relation to social grants, you can see that that's one of our focus today. And that consolidated list, I would imagine that it will get a balanced category. So we are able to list out the numbers that relate to the curriculum of the industry.
Chairperson, we noted that we apologize for not having it. Unfortunately, the invitation did not specify exactly how wide the line of information or line of question will be. So we were like also just preparing, not knowing exactly what specific information will be. Because we can extract it, but we can provide to the maybe in the next really few days we provide the committee with that state. If the committee can allow us to do that.
Yeah,
there has been a challenge that was explained that the people that have to be removed from the SACA system still remain in the system. What is the basis for that situation?
Thank you, Chairperson. In February this year, we received a disc from the FIU on all the people that they had picked up with common ID numbers when they were matching with the other systems. As I said, we have been in fact engaging the FIU on this. We need to further unpack that information, which indeed we did. Out of that 500 information, the 500 records, it relates to about 284,000 beneficiaries. The reason of this difference is because one beneficiary can have more than one grant that they receive. Now, what happens is, I'm going to be very specific, Chairperson, so that you understand the process going forward. Then, I think that goes straight to the statistics while I unpack this information. We did the data cleanup exercise from the database that was downloaded to the download of software. And then of the 284,768 beneficiaries,
the beneficiaries that were active in Sokben were 186, 685. Now, beneficiaries that are active are those beneficiaries that are receiving payments. The amount of 335,322 were inactive beneficiaries. The beneficiaries are inactive in the sense that you have those that have deceased, those that are lost, and also those that have been terminated, that is the payment has been
terminated. Chairperson, point of order. Chairperson, I don't think it's fair for us to be just thrown with all these figures. So we need something in writing. I ask a question of clarity. We've been told by the SRU that there's a total of 447,051 handed over. But now Mr. Pagaja says there's 79,000. And we need to understand the magnitude of the problem. And we're not getting to that. How big is this problem of public servant training social program? I mean, this is, and the SRU are supposed to work with the department. There's a service level agreement, but they're not talking to each other talking.
The question that Professor Malala has asked about people who have been identified who continue to live in crime. So whatever people have been given, are in relation to us, that's the question. And I say, if there are discrepancies in terms of the figures that we have, and once they are given, let's note them down. In our follow-up question, we can then zoom into those specifics. And the SIU is here to assist us in terms of dealing with it. So this discussion to have time to go back to each specific area given, is something you want to have. Yeah. You can't ask an official for details. A detailed breakdown. And when that official starts giving those details, they object to that physically, you don't understand, you can't appreciate. So they really miss that, is it reasonable and equitable? I think when we figure, let's keep them a little close so the ones can take them down and compare with whatever they have, so that if they are discrepancies, then they can be explained to us. Right?
I'm referring to the records that were given by the SRU to us in February 2010. 500,284, 548 beneficiaries that way in other categories that they have compared. Now, those are beneficiaries, but when we analyze the total record, we're 522,007. That's where I started. Then in March, you see
what is that figure?
The total record that we figure up from that disk.
Yeah?
Yes, which means the.
Yeah, give me the figure. What is
522,007?
No, just say 500,000.
Yeah, 500,000.
Yes. 522,000.
It's actually more than that for 94.
No. Okay. I mean, all along I think you're talking about 500.
No.
522,000. No, you must give it as it is. So
okay.
The sense of the gravity of the
text. Yes. Okay. Now, I said from that 522,000. 335,000 were inactive already in the system. Now, when you compare databases, you will still pick up both active and inactive because it's the record that we have in stock.
How many were still active? I think that's what you're
saying. 186,685. 186,000.
Yeah.
All right. Then in June, we sent all the 186,685 letters of notification in terms of the loan for them to review the grant. I will give you a clear detail of the process. The Act requires that we give the beneficiaries 3 months within which to come and review their grant so that they can verify that those grants are indeed legitimate. Now, that took June to August, that's the 3 months this year. Now, what we will do, because now we are in August, we will give, if some of them don't come up to review this grant. In fact, we have been on the media recently explaining this review process, I think in many radio stations, how this thing should be done. Some people were not very aware of thinking their grants have been stopped. we will then issue suspension notices. Now, 3 months notice to ask them to come forward. Then another 3 months to say, you did not come forward, now I will suspend that. That is what the law requires us to do. That will take us to end of November, that is September, October, November. So that if then, despite the suspension notice, they don't come, only in December we'll be able to suspend those grants. Now, suspending the grant means you stop the payment, that the beneficiary is not going to get anything. Then what the law says, that they have another 3 months within which to come and reactivate the grant by saying, yes, I didn't come forward despite the notices, but here are the reasons I want to stay. Now, that takes us to December, January, February 2011. Only in March that we must lapse that grant if they don't come forward to the session. But payment is already stopped in December. In March, we lapse it. Now, what does it mean? If we lapse, there's no way we can renew it. If you want it back again, you start afresh and reapply and go through the process of application. My personal view is that it's too long with processes. We are one of the solutions we are putting on the table to address the department. Yes, in terms of the provision of Administrative Justice Act, we need to have all the processes to make sure that they're fairness. But if you look at it, it takes us 9 months before we actually say we are lacking a grant. And it will take us 6 months before we can actually suspend. So it's a legal impediment that I think personally we need to revisit and see if those periods can be shortened somehow without what you call trampling on the rights of the beneficiary in a way in terms of pardon.
That's true, clarify the committee. You mentioned that there are 300,000 recipients that are inactive and they are on the system. Would you like to understand exactly what that means? Why are they inactive recipients on the system? Just explain that for us to understand.
What we do, because when we receive application, process and approve, we will have a manual report that goes to the files in the warehouses or in the archives. And in the system, you have details of that person, the name, the addresses, the ID numbers, and all that personal information, which is a personal record, electronically stored. Now, when you terminate the grant or lapse, you stop it from being paid, but that record is there. You can keep it there for many years, because if somebody wants to do whatever they do, and they say you must go back and refer to that record. I always give the example, like in a university, where you will have the record, even if you stop. You were starting in the year 1995, but they will keep your records. If you give them your student number, they can pick all those details. Now, what I am discussing now, currently with the broad unit, is to say, when we do data matching, can the solution or the tool that we use be designed in such a way that it sees us only active beneficiaries, so that it doesn't give us everything? For instance, if a person gets a job at SAFA or any other department, yes, that person applied for a grant at the time that person was not working and got the grant. Now, if you get a job, then you stop that grant at the time of appointment. We pick that scenario in all many of the civil servants, that they were getting the benefit at the time they had, they were legitimately or rightfully, having to accept the benefit. Now, after that, they have been appointed, they've been inactivated. But now, when you do the daytime validation, you still see that name as a civil servant in the system software. But only further analysis will tell you that this person is inactive. It will be the same thing with other ones that are lost maybe through death and so on, to pick up a record that person is no longer active in the system. I hope I've tried to explain the honorable members.
Last question, Chair. That's the system. You have a system that will detect that a taxpayer who's earning a salary somewhere and really
there are concerns as to whether indeed you would be able to get them. You see that many people indeed get into the crime.
Yes, Chair, you touching then on the real issue now. And I want to be very, very, I don't want to sound like really I'm trying to be for support here for assistance. Secondly, FIU work is after effect. That is exactly the problem. If corrective measure, you pick up if you take them to court, what we need are solutions to prevent the active entry point. Now there are various entry points. We have an entry point where we were suspecting the vulnerable system, the legacy system didn't have the necessary control. So we worked with CITA. In fact, I remember I was still at DSC then when we had so many meetings with them to look at a solution where we can have a firewall to prevent hacking and phishing, where they can steal passwords and other IP addresses by remote means, the technology they used to do that. So that was going to call it a spyware that was put around the system to prevent that. Then the other entry point is at an application level. Because if you do not have, I go and apply for a grant and I cannot verify that indeed this is possible, who is a South African citizen, I must be able immediately online to verify with the population register health in Home Affairs that indeed this person with all these details and dependencies, marital status, everything in this person. Now we do not have that interface with the system. Now, our IT person here will give all the details, but what I want to tell you is that with all provinces where they don't have this online link, every week they download the file from Home Affairs and do a matching with software to determine if that information is indeed matching. Where there are exceptions, then they follow up. Five regions have already have people who have been accredited to have access to software, which is they've got user ID, but the Minister of Home Affairs called us recently and said, there's so much fraud in our system, we want inspection on the app. I think department FAGS are not sure about personal services and other departments that allow to have that information access. We have renewed and given them all the new information of all our officials who are accredited to be access that system. Those regions, they are able to pick it up at an application level and match information. Now, going forward, we want to implement IDEF. IDEF is actually more advanced in the sense that everything you do online, you do online verification, you do online matching, and also that it leads to other systems that you have as a control. But I think what I want to emphasize is that with more than 40 million records, you can't manage this on manual systems. That's the problem with SAFA at this stage. We have to automate this system so that all the records electronically, the systems that interface are talking to each other, and you are knocking at the door seven to get money to do this. We only have money now for 3 states. We have been there. I would invite members to go and see IDF in 3 states in Taranji. It works so well. The minister has been there and also the deputy minister. They have seen it and they really said in Parliament during the budget debate they want to roll out the system. But we can only roll over 3 states this year, but going forward we want to roll out that solution. Thank you.
But can we have follow up from COVID to start the Maxfield team?
Thank you, Chair. Can we go back to the kinds of figures that Honourable Malali was asking about? And I'd like to know very specifically the number of SASA employees who have been charged with being complicit in approving any of these illegal grants. How many SASA employees have been charged with being complicit in approving any of these illegal grants?
it sounds similar to the earlier question, Chairperson, of the breakdown that the members want. I understand the importance of this question. Maybe the economic executive has time to it by which to submit this information.
Next week,
Thursday should be fine.
Hmm?
Personally, Chairman, I find that explanation completely unacceptable. The officials must know how many of their own staff members have been charged with what offences, and if they can't extract it from a database right here and now, then I really find that completely unacceptable. We want to know whether the number is 10, 15, 20, 200, 300. It should be immediately available, and I just cannot accept that we can allow them a week to go and find it. But Chair, I have a further follow-up question on
a different matter. Just a minute, one official has the answer.
That is a good answer, but may I insist my colleague and also ask them what to say about it, to comment about it. According to the annual report of SOCA, there were only 235 disciplinary cases in the entire year of 2008-2009. And of that, fraud related to social grants were only 15. Now, in my mind, 235 has a total staff complement of roughly 8,000 at the time of my reading of the report is correct. Sounds very low. So this department is spending millions of rand, and millions of rand go lost in unauthorized
things. So let's do not take up from the realm of speculation. Let's get the figures, and then we'll take it up from there. I hear your frustration around that, but the extra figures, they will forward that to us.
With the disciplinary consequences, not just the numbers, but what consequences that follow.
Sure.
Yes, Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, it's quite ironic that the system they're putting in place to solve the problems of is called IGAP. Because there are many gaps that we can see as a committee here in the way that you operate in your system. And the basic question is, do you have systems in place that can identify these gaps at source before the SIU even gets it? Now, the answer, Jefferson, to that was no, the systems don't talk to each other. Foxen doesn't talk to Home Affairs doesn't talk to each other, and you are looking for money from Treasury to try and get more money to put your system back. Now, how long is this going to take? And Jefferson, will Mr. Fagata venture to say, in your assessment, how many percent of the 14 million people that are receiving social grants are receiving them illegally? And can you put a value to that? Because that we are here to check on accountability of public funds. That's my first question.
Chairperson, if you allow me, I have my CIO here. It was very important that members understand this initiative. Because IGAP is not a system on its own, it's just a project. Improve grant application process. Just briefly.
Thank you, CEO and Chair and the member. I think to simplistic, without getting into IT and explain that some of the challenges between the data exchange is that we don't have a live system that when somebody comes and applies, we have a live validation with UIF, COINDA with NTR, that say that the application process now will stop you for that. But what we do have is a 5-day data dump that you get from the UIF, from your data, from your Home Affairs, that we are then able to compare the data amongst the different systems. Then we can apply our norms and standards in terms of claim tests and all of those things. In addition to Home Affairs, what we have now developed and tested is a live interface with the old NPR population register. We are also developing another live one with a OMI system that they were developing, which is not yet live. You would also understand that members of COPA that Home Affairs has also gone up live to say they now have a Africa system that allows all banks to be able to live verify the biometrics of the people getting into the banking.
that the one now the two ministers have agreed that also government must prioritize multi-getting into them. So that's one part. In our budget list that we have submitted to Treasury, which is something we have asked since the formation of startups, in the CIO since the formation, I have always asked for money to do that. I have never understood why we can't have funds to integrate those things, just for us to be able to do that. All what I will do is to say at the point of application, I'm only matching the data from the person applying to that one. You would also understand from the Home Affairs system, by the way, that if you use this, your paper-based biometrics, not your live biometrics, your paper-based fingerprints have a 35% failure rate. That you can never allow an access for payment purposes. Hence, they are going for the who am I system to make sure that there is a live biometric, which is what you want to get it.
How long will it take?
That one, we in the proposal we have now proposed, we will roll out now in two districts for this year. The CEO has allocated at least $20 million to pilot this in your OR Tambo KSD area and in your case then the two areas with bigger project industries. So we're retiring on that in this financial year.
Three main projects?
No, I mean the KSD municipality in OR Tambo and also in the Eastern or in the Poshak area within KZN, because those are our top hits for fraud. So that's more on the biometrics. We'll also be putting live fingerprints so that as people apply, they can make live fingerprints. That's for this financial year. The other system, the CEO, you remember that all what that does is to say as application, you are only confirming who you are.
No. All those initiatives, by when is this even concluded?
The piloting ones, we will pilot
the
totality of them, we'll put a 2-year time frame if we do get the budget for full rollout countrywide. For preventative control of funds, your preventative forensic analysis capabilities, which is currently what part of the SIU is doing, also those will be piloted and rolled out across the country in a 2-year time frame.
But is the money coming?
That's dependent on my friends on my left if we are getting the money from Treasury.
Chairperson, I know they got friends on the left. What about the friends to the right of the Kabbalah? Because the Department of Social Welfare and Population Development is ultimately responsible and accountable. And can the DG venture to say is he satisfied with the way Papa is conducting his business as an administrator on behalf of the Department? I know there's an accident.
Thank you, Chair. Questions, I don't have much to add to what the CIO is saying. That until such time that the fiscal sector is able to finance the systems that are required, we're still going to have still challenges for some time to come. These bills that are being referred to by the CIO of SAFA are in fact being submitted to the Treasury by ourselves. And those bills are not being met, and one can understand that there are fiscal constraints, which means that we cannot get all the money you need at any one time, because there are a number of priorities government is focusing on. But until such time that the Treasury is able to allocate us the resources we require, it is still going to be a challenge, which means that we can rely on what is being tested in the pilot, what is being piloted, and once that has been established to be effective, we hope that it will improve our prospects of the Treasury being willing to invest money into those systems because they've been proven to work. Right?
And I'm sure that if you save more money, you can invest it in the system. Completely, but not the
Thanks for your question. Allow me to just get it clarity by going into the text. I didn't quite capture, the reason for 300,000 inactive members. What are the reasons for that? Will it relate to the investigation by the SIU? Will it be because people got other jobs, so
so they left the system because of that, or is it tax related issues? Can you help? That's a big one. This one should be very easy. And I've never asked it to start with the question.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. I think thanks to you. I think that should provide an easier answer. Is that the Archive Act basically forces any state entity that you must keep the record of anyone that has applied for a minimum 5-year period. Which means, if I apply today, I die tomorrow.
If I do understand that, I'm asking the reason for inactive. They are there, but they are inactive. I understand that they are explanation.
What it means is that all we can do, we can't delete them from the system from 5 years. All that I do, I make them inactive, which means you can't pay that record. Because either that person has deceased or that grant has been stopped. But I can't remove physically delete that record from the system for 5 years. So only after 5 years, now I can physically delete it, which means whenever you do the data match, that nuclear record is not there. But for that 5-year period, we can't remove. All that I can do is to put tags on it to make sure there is no money that can be paid for that record, which is then what the CEO was explaining as an inactive record. You can't pay. We trace it. It's a return to the informant.
All right. Follow up to the last one. The collusion. How big is this phenomenon? And maybe linked to that, which is that it would be, do you have what you call skill shortage in the government? Does people know, pointedly, people who actually approve the application, do they have relevant qualifications? To do their job, are they qualified to do it? Because I'm trying to link the collusion part of it. I mean, it is linked to collusion. Why people who are deployed and qualified to be deployed where they are deployed will collude with people to deploy.
We have, as you know, a 4-tier system, but the bulk of the applications is the local office level. And currently, most of the approvals happen at district level. Now, that is why we have the ICAP, which wants to also decentralize that function. The risk here is that those officials are at a lower level. The level for approval is level 7, and the application is done by level 5. Those people are not well paid in terms of the salary package. Then it does tempt them to get into that kind of corrupt practices. Now, we recently suspended 7, as you had recent reports on the case at
Airport. Just to educate me, level 7, what is the director?
Low,
or accident?
Class?
What
would be that? It's low. It's entry level in the public service. Director is level 13. You have assistant director at level 9 and 10. So this is very low. Now, what is the challenge?
No, that's fine. I mean, the issue of the level, and the issue of the challenge of collusion.
The capacity now at that level is very low. I have an analysis for country-wise of all the regions, how much staff they need for application, for approval, and supervision. What is lacking in most is supervision, because they do not have enough supervisors to check on those staff. This is part of the action plan that is consolidated and submitted to our mother department, as well as part of the district treasurer. But we have innovated, we look at how many level 5 currently is what we're going to work with what we have. We wanted to, we got slightly more in some regions of level 5, but very less level 7. So we want to build up level 7, but we're going to interview, we're working with NEHA, with directly other unions on this. to look at those who have the capability and experience to begin to be at level 7, but we also advertise where we can take in 10 and. But we have costed all these things and submitted to travel space. With our rearrangement or reorganization within, this is what we can address. But these are the number of people who we need additionally to be appointed at the level of supervision. So that challenge definitely is there, we acknowledge it.
The question was, because of this low-level or entry-level staff who are doing the job of people, job above their level of requisite skills and so forth. So therefore, this is the potential for a possible process to be effective. Then, what are we doing about it? That's why my follow-up question linked to that was, do you have skills for it? And I don't think that is where you start, because, why then do you not appoint relevant people to the relevant position? I think that would be the long short of my question, because seemingly you have low people doing jobs that are supposed to be done by a deputy director or a director. Why are you not doing it? It doesn't need additional funding, because I did ask if you do have a skills shortage, and if you didn't entertain it, then my assumption is that you have people out there doing moving around.
Okay. All right. That's in an organization that is challenged like this, they really to deal with this thing quickly. Because you are going to try and solve one little problem in one little corner. We have agreed. We've approved at management level an entire overall business review, business process re-engineering. What have we looked into holistically? In fact, the first phase of that we've completed, which is the development of a new service delivery model. We've developed that, we were discussing last week with Edmenco, and we approved that we are going to submit it to the department so that they get to sanction it. Then the second level will be to embark on the entire processes and inform us what level should we approve the grant. In fact, it will also even indicate the role of the district vis-a-vis the role of the local officials. So we need to the entire rewiring of the organization. But if we try and fix it this need, my worry is that we are not going to be dealing with the overall problem. Okay.
Let me see. Then Convertroy, Makazi, and we'll stop in Toyando.
I have a big question, because I could not be able to match the figure. And because the report that we received from the assignment had a number of years, so the period over a number of years. And my conclusion was to match the total given for those number of years compared to these figures that were given us. So it would have been, to me, appropriate that when you came here, knowing that you would be speaking specifically to a particular group, to bring us documentation so that we don't get confused. I'm sure most of these questions would have been answered earlier. I want you to give me quantification in terms of rent and rent. On what you gave as, you remember the first reply on the 1,000 and then the charge 9,000 and conviction 7,000 and then the last one was the 23,644 on the science acknowledgement of that. I want to quantify in terms of value how much we're talking about.
initial, or the total amount today is 71.8 million. Now, we have already received that is the money that is not payment of debt.
That's the amount that has been received already by
yes.
the partner.
That's no, sir. Received by the FIU.
Okay.
The last
yeah.
day.
Yeah. No, 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 no. What, I thought the question goes beyond that. In terms of the, if I will talk more for sure, that in terms of the people, the numbers of the people who have acknowledged that and who were convicted, what is in monetary terms, what
is the book debt?
Yes,
book debt. 178 million.
I left it direct and concentrated on the acknowledgement of debt. And that is why I said the figure is 73,646. I remember the figure correctly. 23,644. What is the debt for that?
I have it for you. I have it for you.
Have it for us.
If it are for public servants, the value of the 119,644 million, 119 million.
Thank you very much. In your view, in totality, in terms of grant fraud, is there a decrease where we are today, or is there an increase? Because listening to your presentation here says to me there are still guests that could, the two have thought, KZN and the Eastern Cape that you spoke about, says to me that there are still areas in which there can be infiltration into the system. And then I'll ask the other person that is due to that after I've answered it.
Chairperson and honourable members, this is a slight decrease. It's not very effective. Hence, I said, you see, it's a leaking. You close the site, opening the site. We need systems that must deal with this fraud management solution. The FIU is dealing with this, and seemingly, even if you go to non-public servants, it doesn't seem to be much of an impact. What I'm saying, it's not. There's not much impact so far until we get the fraud management and presented the solution, which is what the CIO has really explained before, which I don't know what the chapter is.
Okay. No, my question, Chairperson, is specifically to say to ourselves here, in appreciation of SASA having taken the initiative to have the investigations going on their own, without being pushed, that because they are in the process of those people that are paid, and I'm also speaking to the National Treasury on this one, wouldn't it be possible for the money that has been recovered to assist the process which was requested by the NC gentleman there? A consideration by the department itself and also the National Treasury that whatever money is recovered in terms of these funds, then that money gets plowed back into improving systems in the in SASA, instead of the department and SASA going back to National Treasury and asking for additional funds to solve the problem. And like you're saying, there is a slight decrease. It means maybe you have not even seen that there is, it's actually, that slight decrease is actually increasing. Now, we need to find a way of solving the problem. And I think that is why all of us are here. And solve the problem by cooperating between the department, National Treasury, in terms of how this thing can be fast-checked. Otherwise, I know in government, we take 5 years
just a quick comment on this, Mr. Joma, if you can allow him. We have made this proposal, but also Trevor recognized, I'm not sure, because I don't want to speak on their behalf, they indicated that the transfer money is especially appropriated by Parliament for the specific papers. We can't use it for administration. We made the proposal that in three, four years back, to say, when Parliament was established, let's get those savings from the initiative that we are doing and plow back in improving the safety in the system. But I want the department also just to come and quickly share this one.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I think I'm a lot more sanguine than Mr. Fakari is around whether, and in relation to your previous question, whether we made improvements. We have actually made significant improvements. In 2002, we for the first time made an estimate, and that's prior to the SIU's appointment, of potential loss in the system. All indications were that we were then losing about 10%, and that's kind of what is called the international norm. And I think the point to be made, 10% of what amount? Of the total, what was the budget? At that time, we were about 20 billion rand.
Well, and 10% of 20 billion?
2 billion.
Okay.
Yes. And then the Minister of Social Development then made an announcement that members can think that it indicated 1.5 to about 2 billion rand. At that point, the function was in provinces, but at national, we could run the data check on Percel and other systems. So that was the first exercise done by the CETA. It was following that the department, through the minister and the president, appointed the SIU, that we then implemented systems which existed then for the first time to continuously run and improve and take people off. In addition to that, we started doing the reviews of the disabled. Now, you members will also recall in 2002, the disability grants grew exponentially. By 2005, we had about 1.5 million. With continued running of systems today by SASA, as well as the reviews of disability, I think we have made very, very significant progress in bringing down the DT from the board. In fact, disability today is 1.2 million.
Yeah, no, the blood is so bigger. Very, very significant. Not a number. It does not give any sense for one by, you know, numerical test. But fine, let's leave it at that. Sorry, Chair.
I needed to make one more point, and it's in relation to the second point made by the Honourable Member in respect of plowing back the money. We and it's an argument we have made to the Treasury.
Is there anything different from what they can see or is that?
Slightly? I think I wanted for the record that this...
Yeah, no, I'm saying the long and the short of this is because this is National Treasury. No central yet.
Okay.
I think the people maybe who should respond could be National Treasure. Because then they are the people who should assist us in terms of taking it forward. I mean, it should be an obvious way out.
Thank you, Jack. It's a difficult response because, as the acting CEO said in one of his previous comments, that we can't necessarily just look at the budget of SASA in isolation. Treasury makes recommendations every year as to what the budget of various government departments and entities should be, departments and departments appropriate those funds. If one just looks at the budget for SASA over the last 3 years, in 2007, the expenditure was about 3.8 billion. That grew to 2007-8 to 4.5 billion. That was a 751 million rand increase in their budget, or in percentage terms, there was an 18% increase in their budget, or even the expenditure, sorry, not in the budget. And from 2007-8 to 2008-9, they got another half a billion rand increase in expenditure, which is about 11%, and from 8.9 to 9.10 was another half a billion rand increase in expenditure, which was about 10%, all way above inflation. So the question about funding these things is a question about prioritization within SASA. There have been huge budget increases over the last year, two SASA, as mentioned, in the 3 years, some 3.5 6.8 billion rand expenditure to 5.6 billion rand expenditure, underlying the 2 billion rand. And also estimating the current situation in terms of public finance. So we need to look holistically at this. We are a little bit very evident that the entity has access to what is a specifically dedicated transfer to households for the social grant. I mean, we need to be very confident that there's financial stability within the entity before we can allow them to access money that's actually intended for another purpose. But I don't think the system requirement is necessarily a problem. I mean, Treasury would definitely want to invest or make recommendations for an investment into systems, provided we know that that money is really going to be used for that investment. And we could think maybe further around actually earmarking, and that's probably the next step we need to take, is earmarking investments for such, rather than just giving a general allocation to such a and for
You want to say something on this one?
Or speaking to you?
Yeah, okay, it's true. No, no, I would be very appreciative. I'm a numbers man myself. I've done the numbers. The increases above inflation, no dispute about it. Step of the matter, what was that money done? Where did it go? The cost of the stuff in Tampa was underestimated. I said this when I was asked this question. I can break it down to the minute detail what that money did, even today, to establish PASA on the physical infrastructure, IT rollout, and all the related issues that were required. What they mean that PASA now is in the red to target where it matters most, which is that I will welcome a reinvest allocation from Treasury. Because, like they did with the MIS, the game of the ring says we don't lose that money, we can't touch it for anything else. That would be a welcome positive step, so that Treasury is also hinted that that money is directed at the appropriate area of investment.
Taking us back to the 2005 up one, which I definitely need to take contact yourself and find that there is no irregularity, has been recommended to the finance secretary today. Up until our systems are in place, we will continue having this challenge. But I wanted to hear from them first of all. Did they not found logic in assisting, you know, the department that started in particular to stabilize, you know, that they reduce the fraud and then the people who are searching into the grant irregular. Is it not a priority? Haven't you looked at what things have they, you know, started embarking on after here they are mentioning that something like 71 million was then collected just from, you know, the product, you know, individual. Are you not very the way that if you put a system in place will then make them to come effective? Is this not something that you need to
Yes, we do value the work, especially the work that the FAU as well as the sister department. One of our discussions with the National Department of Social Development at the moment is even lifting up the amount of money we spend on anti-fraud measures to their vote, so that we can make it more prominent on the government's corporate structure. But as I mentioned, unfortunately in the past, we didn't necessarily have mean spend allocations within stuff. We felt that there were an entity that could manage their own business and they would make the necessary choice. Also, we might have to entertain a discussion with the Department of Social Development, because there was always a bit of an issue about influencing. We, in the past, have ventured down that road, but they
thank you that they acknowledge that they need to look into that. It's very important. We cannot have the North West Direct team is only responsibility, because part of their responsibility is to make sure that departments and entities are operating in terms of what you are expecting to. When they are saying to you, in this scenario, we can't see light because the system it does not help. We are unable to screen people that are supposed to get this. You should have been prioritizing, and I guess that they must prioritize that particular area to assist this particular department. Coming back to SASA itself, do you have
are here giving evidence today or don't appreciate hand gestures that indicate that they don't have enough money, we actually want to know how they are managing the budget that they are given. And we don't appreciate gestures that simply indicate they don't have enough money.
Thank you, honourable members. We can give statistics of the people who last in the system and the grants that we are suspending, different grant types. We have that, we are doing the job. All our facilitating, we can do it far better if we can digitize our processes. We're talking 40 million records. That's all I was saying. I'm not saying people are not doing the job, all I'm saying. We would be far improving if we go to automation and digitalization. That's all our challenge is to get attention.
Yeah, your test has given us two answers. I'm sure you were here. There are two answers for one question. Nonetheless, you just have to create the big one is the final answer. The last question is in relation to the forecast of the SASA has been attracted somewhere towards, you know, more spending most of their time dealing with the procurement irregularities. Can they share with us what are these irregularities in the procurement that may take their focus, you know, out of their way to look at the procurement? Can they share with us?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The ASME, we have the SIU initially focused on social grant fraud. That is why the proclamation by the President was focusing on. We then had an agenda. We requested the SIU as a partner to refocus on some of the critical areas that we were worried about. Our request to them on procurement, on forensics. In fact, last year already we asked them to do IT forensics. So it was our request. That is what they are saying. There is an increasing focus on procurement in other areas other than grants. That's all that is saying. Otherwise, it's not like there is an advertising fraud. But anyway, they have done a good job, which we appreciate, and we have taken action against those that we did. I think members know some of the one of them.
No, we don't know. Actually, this question, what is it going into the substance of those procurement fraud? Any figure, how many people, and what, we know you're an active CEO because the CEO was suspended for possible fraud. I just don't know where the disciplinary case is at this point. I'm sure you would share that light with us. What give us details? I mean, not as details, that's not something to create. Except that there's just one matter I'm able to comment on, that is the letter written to the case of the chief executive officer. That the minister on the 23rd of April this year announced his dismissal from the South African Social Services Agency following a disciplinary process in the organization relating to. Property acquisition project.
To add to say, and the idea, they can speak for themselves, most of those projects are still underway. We've got about 7 additional projects that I gave to the FIU for investigation. That's one that I personally, that others have already given before my time. So this is work in advance done by the FIU. We are waiting for them to give us the feedback as soon as they are ready on those cases. As I said, Casper Cross Procurement, ICT, forensics, and so on. In fact, the AG also is working closely with us on those projects.
I say I'm covered here, Captain. As Mr. Pagadi was answering some of the questions, he was answering me anyway. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair President. Chair President, I've been listening, and I'm happy that Treasury Department, as well as SASA and the AG's office,
I need to bring a very serious matter to the table. The fact that year after year, the Department of Social Development is taking a negative auditor's opinion on the management of their finances. And when we look deeper into the report, we find that the mistakes lie with suffering. And as we've been talking, the numbers that they are accepting of fraudulent activities in SASA, and also accepting that they cannot manage some of the work they cannot do, is too much for them. They need systems in order to do it. Brings me to one question. The question asks this. There is dual accountability that is between the department and SASA, and there's no board. SASA is not an entity that is registered. Rather, it is an agent of the department. Now, does the Department of Social Development need SASA? Is it necessary that we should have an agent to do its work? Because as far as I'm concerned, the payment of grants and all this is the responsibility of Social Development Department. Now they've got an agent to do it for them. And the agent is called SASA. And SASA, on top of that, has gone lower down to look for cash paymaster services in order to do the distribution of the grants. So you look at it, it's a three-step implementation just of issuing these grants. Do we need 2.5 billion of the taxpayers' money just to pay people to do our work as a department? And those people again hire others. And the others that are hired have failed before in the previous term. The CPS has failed the department. They were taken out, their contract was stopped, terminated. Now SASA brings it in. Now, we really want to find out, do we need SASA? On top of 2.5 billion, they are overextended by 1.2 billion because of poor administration. I want to stop the chairperson. This is a very complicated matter that I would like different sectors to respond to. Thank you, Chair.
I don't think it's that complicated. I think she will simplify it for you. And the administrative budget of SASA is 5 billion.
Yes.
Although now it's 5.6 billion. And they're using 2.5 to pay cash paymaster services. And indeed, there is this trouble of 1.2 billion. Of our expenditure. Can we talk to this expenditure? The question that's been posed has unfortunately been accompanied by a number of assertions, many of which are quite contestable. But I will not go there. I'll just focus on the essential question that I'm sure you'd like me to respond to directly. The National Department of Social Development does need SASA. The National Department is not configured in a manner that would allow it to have the reach that would be required for the disbursement of social grants to beneficiaries across the country. It is essentially a policy department, and in number is quite small. I think our staff complement is in the region of about just below 700. We need an organization like SASA, being an agency specifically established for this purpose, based on a legislation passed by Parliament, to do exactly that. The fact that SASA does not have a board is a matter that continues to be the subject of debate in government between ourselves and the Treasury, on whether or not SASA shouldn't have a board, so as to avoid what the Honourable Member referred to as dual accountability. It's
is a matter that will continue to do this. But perhaps I should also say that the Department of Social Development has thus far had 13 glorious years of unqualified audits, as opposed to what I'm hearing from the honorable member with regard to the audits of the Department of Social Development over the years. But the issue of dual accountability, we know, poses serious risks for the audit of social development going forward, and it's a matter perhaps in the future we will come to spoken and talk about that.
I think what she indicated that the qualified audits that are listed as are the results of that, not the other department finance sector. So I think you have to get out of this one. The accusation is not on the department specific. And I think the import of your question in relation to whether we need SAFA or not, it's a matter of configuration, but it's a configuration to policy decision. Right. And that therefore it was from the department first to SAFA. SAFA does not pay grant. It procures the services of another entity. I think that was the import of the input that started the process. Is there no way of cutting the process from the department to the beneficiary? I think that's where it is. Yeah. No, thank you, Chairperson. I stopped short of covering that aspect. Perhaps I was overwhelmed by the point that was raised before.
No, you've been underwhelmed.
Not overwhelmed.
The only thing I was overwhelmed by the reference presentation. But generally, I think we are equally concerned about that. Interface with the ultimate beneficiaries of social funds. It's a matter that from inception of SAFA was in fact discussed. And SAFA has already commenced with the processes relating to a new payment model, which will ultimately see SAFA do the payment itself. As to the details of that payment model, I'm not certain whether the committee would like to hear those now or something that we would like to hear on another day. But there's a lot of detail in relation to processes that will ultimately see SAFA being the agent that actually does this.
Is it within more time frame?
Perhaps I should ask the SNC to specifically speak to the time frame.
Chairperson, we're working very closely together, and we're working together on this. And both ministers are consistently meeting to discuss the new payment model. We're looking at by the turn of the next financial year, because we have evaluated options. Unfortunately, we still have to go to cabinet and the cabinet is closed.
Just a minute. Are you saying 2011, 2012 financial year?
2011-2012 financial year is the year that we want to test, protecting the system. Then we want to roll out in the outer year.
2012-2013.
Yes, that is our target. We want to fully roll out, and it's going to cut costs significantly. We agree with National Treasury, but we don't want to go to figures of that, but significant saving for the test area that we will get.
Now, TG, why, along my colleagues, TG, if this issue around the payment model was an issue at the inception, why is it taken almost forever to have a system conceptualized and be rolled out?
Chairperson, there are particular challenges in the processes relating to the payment of grants. Safa in the first 3 years was busy setting itself up as an institution. In fact, that process has not yet been completed because, as you may be aware, the subcomplement of Safa is not quite what it's supposed to be. And the aftermath of constraints relating to that. So from conception, we knew that Safa is supposed to get to that stage. But the process is quite slow. And this is also a reflection on the unwillingness or otherwise of people within Safa to get there. These are simply practical constraints in the process of establishment and getting Safa to be what it is. It's going to be slow, and part of the processes that are required to be rolled out require a lot of investment, which is something that is necessitated that even as we engage in, with the Treasury about the new model, we look at what resources are required to get us there. So we are certainly conscious of this, Jefferson, and we are hopeful that if investment is made into this process, as we've described it, we should see better results in the LTA of the LTA. But I must just mention, though, that there are a number of impediments. Some of efforts to go in that direction has already been met by the distance that has been taken to court by some of the service providers, the cash people, people are disbursing the cash on the basis that they are insisting on certain processes being embarked upon, including procurement of services to get SASA down that path. So it's not going to be an easy path because SASA from time to time gets dragged into court in relation to these processes. But we are confident that ultimately we will overcome the challenges that we face in this regard. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, let's
try to
make a follow up and then Dami, and then we will need to move over to.
Thank you, Chairperson. I do hear the explanation, and I'm happy that you have clarified some issues where the DG wouldn't get me right. So I need to say, I still have to contend that the 5 billion plus 2.5 billion that is being given to SASA and SASA as we want could still be used to increase your staff complement if you need it too as the Department of Social Development and you pay salaries. This is another way that one could see when looking into it outside the department. But I don't want to go further. We'll talk about it. The second point, I'm happy about the new model that is being looked into, and what I'm requesting on our chairperson is that we get copies of such a model so that we also can look at it before it can be piloted, before it could be implemented. I thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Chair, with that intention, the Honourable Member is spot on. I don't want to add or subtract. That saving, we want to use it to enhance all our areas that we need. As soon as we have approached Cabinet and even at the Lord, we'll definitely come and present it to the members so that they understand all the benefits of it and how it will work. Thank you.
All right. I think that it was like you did already go with all the cost-cutting measures that should assist to bring more money into the coffers we can do other things. I think that is the area of concern and interest for us.
Thank you, Sir President. Mine is a follow-up in relation to the call by the acting CEO for the review of the legislation with regard to the 9-month period of removal of the beneficiary. So you said that I wish to indicate that there's nothing wrong with this legislation. Parliament was very much mindful of the democratic and the social conditions of our society, given the vastness of the area. So the, this 3 month period in Kazakh is quite fair and very reasonable. What they are not telling us as a committee is that you have not put on a project monitoring and evaluating to see. That's why now the SIU is on your neck. Because if you take this issue of removal as a project, you put in a project plan, and then the designate officials to deal with that, then it also promotes this issue of the promotion of just labor in certain areas. In the sense, I would say that there are managers in the region. I'm talking from where we come from. They've got cars, they've got everything. Why can't you take them, put them as your project managers, and then let them attend to these issues? Then the 3 months period in general is quite reasonable and fair. You are able to cater for each and every one. But this thing to say, because one is failing to implement the act and can't say there is a need for a legislative review, it's really unacceptable on our part. Because the reason why the SASA Act was established was for the department to make sure that it deliver the social services fast, better, and easier to the community.
I'm sure that was more hardcore than a question. And what if we would make such a point available? We still would worry that the management developing barriers in order to attend the problem. That could not see some of the things. Every day that is a job, the problem is there, you face it day in and day out. But the ability to think beyond the normal processes becomes a challenge. Anyway, the last one, this, that should be the last. Thank you, Chair. I originally spoke, I just had two questions and you allowed me one, so this is my second. It's not a problem. Thank you very much, sir. Chair, I want to go back to the amount of money that the department knows is being lost every year. The future value, according to the SIU, of the irregular grants is 11.5 billion. And they talked about a figure of 2 billion rand a year that's actually lost to irregularly paid grants. Now, over a number of years, this amount accumulates. And yet we've also heard from the IT specialist in SASA that they don't have the money or resources to implement the necessary security systems. And my concern is that this department, specifically social development, has known for years and years that they are losing money. Surely the priority has to be IT security, the management of database security. That has to be the priority. And I'm just concerned that it does not appear to have been the priority that it deserves, and I would like please to request that the department, SASA, will assure this committee that they will do everything to prioritize data security and the elimination of fraud. And we would really need, I think, as a committee to ask that we have a detailed plan setting out how this is going to happen. Thank you, Chair.
Well, we agree fully, Chair. We have the plan, the details, in terms of all the things that we want, in terms of automation, digitalization. All I can say is that we will definitely keep knocking at the door for salary, but on the other hand, we put those initiatives for cost saving to ensure that we can also redirect that money to. We are very aware of that, Chair. Definitely, I can assure you, we are thinking out of the box.
Yeah, we want to thank you, Tiji, and your delegation from your agent, but
didn't want to ask, but it does appear that my sense is that Papa is the highest out of the community because it deals with money. And yet, my sense is that the officials that are employed there are not better. Are they better?
No. Chairperson, we have sent all the names, the rest of the senior managers and all those who are hiring in the business processes. We're working with NIA. They have capacity problems, but in the meantime, we have asked FIU to do background checks to all those officials.
Those that are already in the quantity of 15 without better. And especially indicated that the people who are actually at the critical point will never find. Because those are the people who find, who get special grants and all that type of process. But in that area of hiring has not been checked, then your problem might not be actually not management, but at that level. So I'm saying it is an area that really is needed to adjust better. You also indicated that the problem with supervisors that is another service. So it means that people are working without any supervision. Proper supervision. And that for me, before you can even procure the best system, you already have a problem. Because even if you have a system is made functional by human beings. So having the correct system is just that half the solution. The next level of solution is your manpower or your woman power. To what extent is it properly trained, properly capacitated, properly orientated to provide the services that are required? So I think for us, the challenge is your human resource. I'm not sure who is taking human resource. What plans do they have to have the issues addressed? Because if they are not, can go ahead and procure the best system. But if those operators have different intentions, they'll do whatever they want. And if people work without proper supervision, that's where you get non-compliance. So I think that those matters of such high end attention. Otherwise, we'll just move it inside of we'll plug this leak and another leak. Pull the power, we plug this one, you know, like a dead man trying to steal a leaking drum. Just keep on. So I'm saying that these are matters that require very, very serious attention. And it's quite incredible that the head of the institution or the entity was to the subject of a disciplinary process because of constructive. Because if at the head, the tone is always said at the top, if the head of the agency has serious practices, why should the rest of the entity be decreased? I mean, if we were to line up the program manager here and say, account for what we're doing, and we, because an opportunity we missed when we had our hearing, and only we have that later, I'm sure we would have found that once again, with the position, people exit different ways within the same organization. So leadership, supervision, monitoring, very critical. Otherwise, we're wasting public money that could be paid to do other things. And this issue about the people who are paying the social grants as well, as much better reason, it is an issue of concern for us. I know it involves a lot of interest, conflicted interest or interested parties, but it is an area of very, very serious concern in terms of the resources that are expended to it and its effectiveness in providing proper service to our people.
nonetheless, we won't be watching the space because far, far away the vulnerable, and it does need to reflect the compassion that our current state has for the vulnerable. But we want to thank you very much. Can I hand over to Kofi Shirwane?
Thank you, Chairperson. We thank your permission. I think we agree, all of us, that the cost of correctional services is in the interest of time. I will go on page by page. I'm not permission, Chairperson. We will start at page 13.
Well, they don't have to finish it, just talk to me. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. When the department initiated the investigation, the purpose was to reduce the level of internal compliance with the department's regulatory framework. We asked you that looked at the total number of 7,000 contracts for tender with 200 as explained. Am I right, Commissioner?
Chairperson, the information that clarified complaint.
In regard to the issue about what is the progress in regard to the investigation, have you acted on based on the recommendation of that argument. So.
Chairperson, I would like therefore to make the following statement in preparation to respond to this issue. Myself and the Chief Financial Officer joined this organization 2 months, 20 days to date. When we joined this organization, we had a prison by reading the press the problem that this organization is facing. And therefore, we're sitting here today, not saying before my time, we are asking to take full responsibilities of the challenges this organization is facing. Given the short time that was spent in this organization, it was therefore indeed our duty to demand and soak ourselves with the problems that this organization is having and chart programs and policies and strategies that will help to change the future of this organization. Having said that, Chair, we therefore appreciate the fact that there are certain issues that will not be able to answer appropriately because of the time span that was spent in this organization. But suffice to inform you that with respect to the issues raised by the Special Investigating Unit, we have been briefed, but not entirely briefed. You have heard just now that there are a number of problems that this organization is facing on a daily basis, and therefore we need to be able to have our hands all over the organization. With respect to the recommendations that were made by the SIEE, I can confirm categorically that we have complied with all the requirements that they have indicated to us, because we are the ones who went to the Special Investigative Unit because we needed help. The Ministry wanted to have this problem solved and attended to. Yes, we do have a plan, and there is a proposal on the table that we're working with in this regard.
When the Commissioner says that you have complied, in which sense have you complied? Have you complied in terms of issuing disciplinary measures against those that have been identified? Or are you saying, have you complied in terms of paper, or in what way, if you could get a sense of your statement?
Chairperson and member of the committee, I would like to premise this by indicating that there are three processes or four processes that are in place. One is that our compliance is with respect to disciplinary processes that have been instituted currently with respect to Mr. Gillingham. It's an internal process. The case is up for discussion and processing on the 6th of September. There is a civil matter that is on the table that is related to a variety challenge. There is an issue also on the criminal cases that are under investigation by the NDCC and the police. But most important, with respect to what you have said in your opening statement, the issues around correctional services are issues of compliance and failure thereof from a management perspective to comply with the recruit program, treasury regulation, PFMA, supply chain management framework. This, we can say categorically here that we're dealing with.
Based on the response that we just had now, when you check the FIU has recommended disciplinary procedures which include chief financial officer, manager, chief legal clerk, CSM official, correctional officer. In regard with the above said of that one official, the issue of Mr. Gillingham, the issue of Royal Sichara, does this matter of their name, are they involved in the other officials which have been mentioned here in the report?
With your permission, I should bring to the question of the Chief Financial Officer. May I remind the Commission and also indicate that Mr. Gillingham was acting Chief Financial Officer.
therefore, with respect to the other managers, chiefs of staff, and the supply chain management officials, with your permission, Chairperson, I'll therefore request Mr. Malati to provide me an elaborative approach and response.
Thank you, Chairperson. I can confirm to this committee that all the recommendations which were made by the SIU have been implemented, including disciplinary processes that were recommended against the member. If allowed, I can share with the committee the process that was put in place to extend this recommendation. When a report comes to the department, we analyze the content thereof. During the investigation, as I would not approach the people that were investigated, so we are required by law to inform the get their side of the story, which we did internally. So every report that has a disciplinary recommendation in, we had to further complete that part before we would do this for disciplinary process. And during that time, there are instances where certain officials who were recommended for disciplinary hearing would no longer be in the department, given the period that was spent on investigation. There are those investigations that started way back from 2006, which report last year. And this report would be about procurement processes that took place during 99 or between 1999 and 2001. So in that regard, in this report, there would be recommendations around disciplinary issues, around criminal prosecution, as well as on civil recovery, the systemic recommendations, which they proposed to the department to close the gap. So, the investigations that took long to complete found that officials had passed away or retired. In that regard, they wouldn't have been the disciplinary hearing against those officials. But with regard to the systemic recommendations, we would consider that and check if it had already not been implemented from other initiatives that were in the department. I also need to mention that the work of SIU was part of the other many initiatives that were taking place with regard to the department as corruption drive. So I can confirm categorically to this committee that all the recommendations relating to disciplinary processes were taken. I have compiled a report for briefing my new national commissioner, which report is destined for this house, having been requested in the previous meeting as I was also participating, but from a remote I do not know whether the honorable member will need specific, because the SI contract focuses on various areas. The highest of which is procurement irregularity, where the issues that were mentioned are at the apex of this. We had issues there of undisclosed interest by officials of the department who conducted business with the department contract too. Section 118 of our Act. This was also raised in this House in the previous meeting.
had officials who were receiving social grants, which were notified by the SIU and acted upon them accordingly. We have officials who had fraudulent certificates. Also, we acted upon those. The other area of focus was with regard to farm investigation, where SIU was assisting us in making sure that the assets that we have on our farm are safe. So there were reports in that regard which we received, others with disciplinary recommendations, others which just said there is compliance. So we extend all of those.
All right. Protection, all the communication.
For the interest of information, can your office be the legal to in your legal to please to provide us with the name, because when you check here in terms of the report, besides the issue of the CFO, you've got manager, you've got chief user clerk, you've got CFCM officials, we also have correctional officers. Can you provide us with a list with details that says, in terms of managers, we've got 14 or 2 or 3, and then like something for in terms of chief officer, so that in terms of officials. And the other thing we wanted to check, because the saying the process, the period of the process of the disciplinary measures was long to an extent that some officials have passed on and some have left the department. But what interest question I want to know is that those who haven't left the department, are they still in the process of within the disciplinary, or if they attended the hearing and have they been reprimanded or what, based on their offenses that they've made? Those who have misused the money, have been the money been recovered? I think it's that kind of a question that we would want to get a presentation about it.
Chairperson, we appreciate the opportunity for us to go back and provide you a comprehensive list of the details as to what officials have been delivering to us. Actually, that is possible. I don't think that would take us a long period of time. By next week, Tuesday or so, because this matter has been on the table for some time. So be able to have the categorization as to at what stage is a particular case with respect to what particular information that has done within the organization. So that's my question.
Well, that will be Wednesday next week or maybe one day extension. Let's get that information.
Sure.
Thank you, Chair. When you check the types of offences and irregularities which were investigated by the SIU and your department, they include a whole range of whole range of irregularities as can call them. Include cover quoting, black economic empowerment, the list goes on and on and on and on. One will be so interested to get, not understanding that the others are not important, the fronting of the black economic empowerment. In which race does this go within the department? And also to check also on the failure to disclose, you've mentioned already. There are officials who have failed to disclose their business. You said you once had this discussion with this committee on the AGB report. But one would also want to know that the department did it seem fit that this is, where is the value for money? Because the AGB doing the same work, and when you launch this investigation, it has also come to be done by the SID. The accounting officer didn't seem fit to understand that he or she could act on those reports that was sent by the AG, because I think it was a double effort by the department.
Let's agree here. Some of the issues that you are mentioning, they should not have happened. Because it's contrary to good corporate governance and good practice. Issues that you are mentioning of leasing, tendering, flouting, they should not have happened. It therefore puts that issue to the organization as to whether we have sufficient internal control measures. It also points back into the management and leadership of the organization whether it was in compliance with the rules of the country, specifically CFMA, federal regulations which I've mentioned, supply chain management framework. I'll be sitting here asking many times, creating an impression that this thing could have, they should not have happened. But what I could indicate emanating from the SIA report, it indicates specifically and clearly that there were systemic problems. But behind the systemic issues, there were human elements behind it. You may have good policies, good practices, but if you have corrupt officials who see money as the end in the process of the end, that we therefore have a problem. Therefore, we still need to serious internal control measures within the organization. I can confirm here in this committee that since the investigation has been done, we have left tender processes within the Department of College Management. And therefore, very for money for what the Special Investigation Unit has done has given us a sense of agility. So that in the event we start other tender processes, we should be mindful of the loopholes and the problems that we might find ourselves if we don't apply the principles of the law.
Thank you, Chairperson. There is a graph again on the graph or the template on the page 16, the Chairperson's amendment, on the report of the SIU.
Unless you change it. You heard it, there's no commission. That's it.
Implement this section that is still in progress, for how long is it going to be in progress?
said, to share experiences and also indicate the level of implementation of what SIU has recommended for. May I therefore indicate that when I saw it, I didn't know what it meant, and I just saw the document in front. May I say this, Chairperson and the members of the Portfolio Committee? The issues that I mentioned here, I am not in a position to provide substantive background. Suffice to say, in the manner at which they have been calculated here, we'll be able to go back and interrogate the team that has been working on this matter for a number of years and be able to come back to yourself and provide a response that is appropriate, requisite with the level of reporting that we have. Certainly, I can confirm to yourself that in working together with the SIU, there are programs and processes that we've put in place together with the investigating team internally. That issues that have been mentioned here, that actually can be said, systemic problems, set aside, I need to understand what set aside are all about. Because once we have a contract, that contract has to be either awarded. If it's not awarded, then we need to find a reason as to why we're not awarding. A contract cannot be set aside. We need to award in accordance to the terms and conditions under which it was adjudicated. I will not be in a position to substantiate the merits of the document that you are referring to and the manner in which you are the response. But suffice to indicate that, yes, there are problems within the organization and those who are dealing with accordingly. And given time, I'll be able to interrogate with the team. I must confirm here and inform the committee that we expect towards the end of the month that I should sit with the entire team, that should be able to brief me accordingly on the issues that are on the table with respect to all the cases around the SIU investigation. And one of the issues is to see the level of compliance that we have achieved, and also to indicate that a week ago I had a meeting with the Mr. Menzies Melan from him to give me a sense as to what the level of issues advocates in Melan. So I could have a sense and the balance of the issues that we need to be looking at as a team. And that will therefore mean that we have a holistic approach, including SLU, to brief us on the matters on the team. Therefore, it is very difficult for you to pinpoint on the level of implementation of some of these issues.
Yeah, well, it's
not
the invitation to you, please tell that once you discuss matters that relate to the investigations of the SIU. And in your letter of report, you are specific about a particular report of September 2009 whose content currently forms the base of the criminal investigation that matters of your letter. So I'll remind you that the maybe only in respect to that one, and for the rest, you'll be able to give us detailed information in preparation for public hearing. And we have your team who are here before you, you have your legal men here. We should be the person who has all the information in his head to say, yes, in terms of contracts that should be set aside, there were recommendations for this one contract to be set aside, action is in progress, yes, to set aside two, I guess it's 19, or whatever number was set aside. Basic criminal error. There was a mistake that was supposed to be referred for criminal investigation, and we done that, there were major errors to the police, or where are we? I think my understanding of the question was at that level, because the other recommendations from 2007-2008, they've all been done. 2008-2009, they've all been done except for the criminal referrals, where there were 122 referral recommendations and only 76 have been completed, 46 are in progress. So, where are we in the 46? 2009-2010, there were 76 criminal referrals. Actually in progress, how many have already been prepared there, I would just to see that, without getting into the details that might compromise the issues we're concerned about together. Are we able to get that information here and now?
Chuck has been my sincere apology for the misunderstanding. I'll therefore request Mr. Malak to take us through and provide this house with their recorded responses. My sincere apology.
On the myself referral to the colleague, let me indicate the system that we follow in this session. As they complete their report and submitting to us, they will at the same time open a criminal case. This has not already been opened and included in their report. What we do internally is to support the criminal investigation that will be unfolding in the form of providing information or testifying if we are required. So the
statement that I'm saying that criminal errors are standard in the
police. Same applies when a case is referred to the NDPC. They do it for us, or they do it, then we will provide the necessary support that is required for that moving forward. The issue of contracts being set aside, where is that action in progress? I do not understand the context with which this information was contract. So I'm just saying I'm unable to provide a answer on this particular one of contract. But with regard to the community recommendation.
No, that's problem on contract. Are you saying that in the recommendation of the SRE is nothing explicit that says we contract a problem, we recommend that you set it aside?
Most of them may have expired. That's what some of the money. Most of these contracts will have expired long time.
What about those that do not have expired, like 2009, 2010?
Very unsatisfactory. It's like trying to pull teeth out of pain. Very unsatisfactory. You see, I believe now that the department, I would assume that long ago, SIU would have reported to the department. But it appears they only now have the detailed report that we have. And on the page 16 of that report, there are a number of cases listed. And see, I want to disagree with you. It's not just a case of only 2009, 2010 cases. We don't have responses from 2007, 2008. They are, for example, 10 recommended referrals to the Asset Reporting Unit. We want to know who, what, and what has been forfeited. There are 651 disciplinary files that have been prepared. Now, the word they use, action, we've actioned these things, very meaningless to me. It could simply mean filing a document. We want to know precisely what has happened, have there been disciplinary inquiries, and what has been the result of those inquiries. Likewise, with contract set aside, which Commissioner Wine and yourself have referred to,
70 contracts, recommendations from 2007-2008, that 70 contracts be set aside. Has it happened or hasn't it happened? Criminal referral, 437. Has it happened or hasn't it happened? Check those kinds of details you want. It's just far too vague at the moment.
All right. I wanted to maybe pause a little more focus. And let the body language show some element of confidence in the information that we want.
Let's make it a bit easy for all of us and correct our sentence. How many disciplinary cases that we really have so far? But are finalized from recommendations from the FIU.
It's quite a lot that we have finalized. I will not have details now. The reason is I didn't know the details of which we require. One thing on hand,
what you're saying basically is that you don't know independently as of now the target is going to have to have a copy.
I know we have different people.
How many people is different? In terms of the recommendations of the FIU.
I'm not able to provide that number.
We want this information, we can't get this information now, when can we have it?
Professor, that's one thing to correct something. I've got a contract check. The legal person is saying you only didn't know about this report. This process was initiated by the department. And when the SIU finalized the report, I suppose it was reported to them before it could go anywhere. And that the statement the commissioner has accepted me. I just want that the leader has just withdrawn that he doesn't know anything because it complicates the discussion that we've had earlier.
Besides the SIU having done the work on behalf of correctional services, I don't think that the cases that are in front of us from correctional services are entirely new. There should be some institutional memory. And little issues like what the SIU has been dealing with as a referral from the department could have been of knowledge to the department itself. But as General President has said, I gather that there hasn't been so far any communication in terms of this report that we have in front of us and to the department, because I was looking at the commissioner there. Now I want to understand how the department can take this initiative on this investigation to be taken forward, and then the SIU, instead of starting there with the department in terms of briefing them, notwithstanding the fact that Commissioner Yanyu, but that they should come to us before they come to you. I think there should be some communication problem which has got to be resolved here. And I don't think that I can pay you to do something for me and then go to Mr. Singh next door and report to him. There should be something for me, that's the correct thing.
Okay. No, I want us to refocus on the question. There is no there is no problem of communication. But why is it better? Commissioner Moyana talked about the September 2009 report. So we can't have the September 2009 report and not have the previous report. They have the report, they have the information. All that the gentleman is trying to tell us is that here and now, we cannot
cannot help them. And I thought Comrade would identify the gap that he did not know what the hearing was going to be all about, which I had read in part when talking to him. I thought, clear what one is talking about.
Yes, you know, the understanding that we have about the social event, firstly, when we were bridged, the gate was there, according only the subject phone. So the official is saying he does not understand what is meant by the city. And I find that very, very, very not a good thing. When they briefed them about the day before, then they got the platform to clarify the matter. What do you mean by contract with the FFR? I mean, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by systematic recommendation, FFR, action in progress? I mean, really, to come here and say we don't understand what you mean, what was that reading? I think officials need to help us, not to create unnecessary problems, really. Opening unnecessary gap of a father. 18 in total, what is meant by that? Meaning, what has been done, 1, 2, 3, 18 in total, what does it mean? And if it's 8, it doesn't, and it can't be.
Head of legal,
but even that, he was there before as the institutional member of the organization, he had the duty or the other citizens, they would have the duty to fully prove the commissioner.
All right. Okay. I think let us go back to the question and look at the answer. If the answer is not there, one person or the other in the answer, let's get that, and we'll respond to that. Because Commissioner Moore and our letter said, let's come and discuss the SRE report. And I'm sure that you just brought all the information that you had ready before that to be able to discuss this with us. So, I would rather to let's pass on the question. So that, I mean, the brief quote from the SRE is that you are also one of the best departments in implementing the recommendation. So we say, how far have you gone? You yourself don't know. It cannot be. Oshi, Tutorial, Masari, and what is it? No. That's a minute. Yeah, no, let's allow Shura.
I wanted to help you. I'm not taking over questions, but I wanted us to get an indicator from SRU as to did they discuss the content of the report that they gave to us with the department. If the answer is positive, then we'll be able to know where to go.
Can we get the report from the SRU?
Thank you, Jesus, and perhaps just by way of background, one must understand that in terms of the service level agreement that we have with the Department of Correctional Services, we provide them with a report every 3 months. So the various recommendations are contained in a number of reports over a number of years. The document that we prepared for your attention is a consolidation of recommendations that have been put together over a number of years. So I do have some sympathy with the Director Malati in being able to segregate the individual issues which are put before you as a collective. You recall that the SIU is the author of the document you have in front of you, so words like action and so forth is used. It is perhaps understandable that these people would not know what the SIU meant by action. So, yes, we have made this document available this morning to the officials. We have not discussed it in detail with them before because it was a document that we had prepared for the attention of the committee.
All right. Shabbat.
four focus tenders in the investigation were launched on catering, security and access control, sensing and city tender. But there are two of them with the regular extension in terms of the money. Is there any progress made in terms of this four tenders?
Chairperson, I can say categorically the four items that you're mentioning, catering, access control, sensing and TV, all refer to BOSASA. Actually, I should think the matter was substituted, the matter is before the court, and therefore we can assure you that the matter is being attended to at that level.
Who is before the court?
We as a department have raised this matter. It's what we call more of a criminal investigation on this matter. So we have raised this matter against two
contractors.
All these are contractor contacts.
But who does the exit with the departmental officials on this question side? Who are the suspects?
So I could indicate that a particular case that is before the Gillingham, the former acting CFO, there is a process that is taking place on the 6th of August, of September. That's the main protagonist in this matter.
Was that the only recommendation from the SIU?
Yes, that's the only recommendation from the SIU.
But they gave us different information, that the former National Commissioner was also seen as having had potentially that's not finished. And therefore the recommendation was that both of them should face criminal charges. But the former commissioner had left the report. Part of the criminal investigation.
If we can just clarify that,
the issues that I can refer to in terms of the tender all relate to this 2009 report, in terms of which there were various recommendations. One was that a disciplinary case must be instituted against Mr. Gillingham. I think specifically because at the time that report came, he was still in the employ of the department. Secondly, that the MDTT should consider criminal charges to be made against criminal investigation in terms of all issues that might have criminal implication in the report, referring to tenders, referring to those people who are outside the department and so on. The current investigation, which is with the police, referred to by the NDPT, covers all those matters, including all the people implicated, including those who are outside the department. It is a matter that is not with us currently, it is with the police. And I do not think that we will be in a position to give a report to outside that. It's fair to say that matter that you are referring to is covered in that. The third recommendation related to this issue about lack of compliance and system weakness. So with regard to this four, the recommendation for those, I think also just to clarify the matter relating to the information that is available or not available here. I think in our intention, which might have been wrong, was that when the invitation was sent, people immediately thought about the current topical issues that are in discussion regarding the SIU report, which are issues that are from the 2009 report, and that is what the commissioner wrote to say. Those matters that are in the 2009 report are meant to highlight to the chairperson that there might be a tricky nature in discussion. And when the chairperson responded to say, we do acknowledge that, but we will not touch on those issues that are of substance, that the meeting should continue. There was therefore, I think there was a misunderstanding that might have referred to these current cases from 2007 and 2009. And I concur with members of the committee that information should be available and should be made available. For their part, the SIU concurred that those have been actions.
should be charged in terms of the disciplinary hearing, and that has been done.
All right. Are you done?
I don't know whether we accept this charge if we are from maintaining the institution or not, and the Billingham, I think that the only person, Mr. Billingham, has the only person, or the department, if you also mentioned the former accounting office, that's what we to know.
Jefferson, I did not phrase it correctly. Mr. Gillingham was the acting chief financial officer, and he's the person that has been pointed out by the SIU, and therefore he's the one that is going through the internal disciplinary process as per their proposal. That's what I'm
just asking about the accounting officer.
The recommendation does not say the department must consider constituting criminal charges against the accounting officer. We don't have such a recommendation.
The last question. This one, it comes from the annual report. I don't know if you have the commission on page 92. But the department extended the memorandum of agreement with the SIU to continue on looking at some of the other things. One issue was the outstanding on medical aid and matters, correctional center funds, which the legal person has already alluded to. But one is just interested in checking the correctional center. What is the matter? Have you already had a report because it has extended in 31st March 2009? What is the progress in this process? And Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity.
Chairperson, with respect to the last matter that the member is indicated emanating from the annual financial report, page 92, and our MOU, I would like to indicate that we're implementing the issues that are raised here. Suffice to say, the current problem that we have with the facilities is that breach of the implementation due to lack of personnel on the ground. Secondly, we would not have had this problem that we're talking about at Kimberley had we been able to sufficiently staff people to do the method of correctional medical assistance. It is a recommendation that has been given to us. We're doing that in progress, and we're dealing with it from a management perspective. And certainly, we'll provide you and the committee with a status report as to how far we've been able to implement it conclusively, given, of course, the extent to which our facilities are amended, given also to the extent at which the issues of management have. So these are the issues that we could fix that we are dealing with currently.
Okay. Mapoti, Matani, the Troy, then we'll come to the case.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm responding to what Mr. Ramagona said about giving information to members of parliament on matters that are already on the public domain. That should we as a community sitting here, we're not going into the merit and the demerit of whether guilty or not guilty. But just to say to us a confirmation, because I think from about 2 years ago, might if you remember, there's always been on the Botafa case an issue around the accounting officer, even at the time that he resigned, you remember there was those little things. Now, we just need a confirmation. We don't want him to go into the merits of whether he's guilty or not guilty because we can't make that conclusion here. It was just what we needed, a confirmation that does this process on
recommendation directed to us and the recommendation directed to the NDCT. The recommendation is that the NDCT considers instituting criminal proceedings against the individuals and companies specifically implicated in that report. So that is what I was saying. In that recommendation, we are not even directed to us. But I think in terms of the report has referred to the former government.
Can they send you talk to this specific recommendation? Because I'm sure Hoshu would want to come with Section 38 on the CSME in terms of the responsibility for the accounting office.
Chair, members, I can just confirm that the report that was September report was the basis for the evading of charges with the fact and for further investigations through the NPA and its organs. The report, the conclusion of the report is as general as what the advisor has mentioned, but in the context of the report, all these other individuals that you're referring to, for example, the accounting officer, Killingham, and further individuals implicated for being suspected for company's employees, have also been mentioned. So the NCA will do an independent investigation concerning the allegations in the report implicating the individual. We, of course, have no grounds to suggest which rule should be prosecuted, but that is the basis of the investigation. My understanding is that DCA has cooperated in facilitating the complainant's affidavit as necessary for the laying of charges.
I thought the answer, the president's answer to the suffer, but just quick one. Statements, not personal, maybe I come there, so only this one.
I'm sorry to apologize.
Mr. President, thank you. I want to second Honorable Marciani on the matter of confidentiality that the department allows for the caucus to vote on the matter of confidentiality. Different departments have come to this committee with the secret. Even issues that are at cost, and then they will say this is not for public domain, and then they will brief us on such issues. I'm happy that ultimately we are able to say what is contained in the report, except saying we can't share this information with you. You can't say it with us, with whom now we can share it. We are the real committee that we should be sharing this with. I wanted to endorse that. But my question is one, Chairperson. In this report of Busasa, where tenders of 1.9 billion have been awarded, a case was opened, criminal case. But the very same department that's sitting before us complained. They lodged a complaint. And they said they wanted thorough investigation to be done on the report of SIC. So I would like to find out if now we are satisfied that what is contained in this report indeed necessitated the opening of that criminal case with the Syriza and commercial crime unit of SIC. Because when this was given, you complained. Unless I misunderstand English. And you must tell us why did you complain?
Chairperson, I should think we're talking on the current. Please, my understanding that there was a complaint then, and our response here together with the SIU is that the message is for the court. We are saying we are happy with the recommendation, we are happy with the advice that the court. Hence, the matter has been taken to court, so that we take appropriate measures in order to close this matter appropriately. So we are happy with the support that the court and the recommendation, and therefore we are complying with the recommendation that has been given to us.
Chairperson, I'm not satisfied. I'm not being answered.
No,
Ashley Dosh,
no,
I need to know what your complaint was all about.
No, that's fine.
Was there anything you were shielding or what? I want to know. Even if it's before court, I want to know.
No, it's fine. Let's just ask this commissioner. Just for you to give us information, so that if this information is wrong, and I'll teach the lawyer if I'm not very clear. The civil case that has been lodged against the department by Oral Chuck, the understanding is that the department is opposing that application to have the contract set aside. And yet, the FIU has recommended that this contract that has been granted for them, just like DTI did with the civil contract, must be set aside. But the department, in opposing, is opposing the application. Why? Because there is means of going against the recommendation from the SIU that there was corruption in this case. I think that's the question. Chairperson, Mr. Malatu would be the right person to respond to. I'll hand it over to Mr. John from the office. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by indicating that the complaint was about the procurement irregularity. Then, as to the case of Royal System and the defense by the department, when the case was, when we received summons, the report of SIU was not there at the time. Then, in the normal course of events, we filed a notice of intention to defend. Then the former DC was advised after a meeting with the SIU that no, do not defend this matter on a number of reasons that were given. Then that notice of intention was withdrawn. But following this, we sought various legal advice from very senior counsel, which we received. And there was an advice that said, defend this matter. That was based on, we accept there have been some irregularities which were pointed out, but that is not the only issues that will be adjudicated before the court. There are other interests at stake, like the provisioning of nutrition to the inmates. If this contract were to be cancelled today, what is it that will happen tomorrow? We did not have a contingency plan in place at the time. So, based on the advice that we got, we were instructed to put in place a contingency plan, which will cater for provisioning of nutrition for inmates in the event of the contract being canceled. But over and above, the department with regard to the requirement, procedural requirement of procuring services, the department believes that the prerequisites of administering a fee have been complied. So
extend our side of the story to the judge, so that in evaluating what shall have gone wrong in this tender, the department's representations are also before the court. The other dilemma to this whole matter, once you are not making any representation, there is a high risk of being sued by other service providers, that you acknowledge that there was corruption in this tender. We could have got it, and now we didn't. You are going to pay us for this money that was got. So the department is currently defending, let me rather say, participating in the litigation that is going on.
Initially suggested by the police. And
in the event you want not to provide information when you are coming to hearing. And the Supreme Court will also agree that then a judgment by the Supreme Court of Appeal that says that you cannot invoke the principle of self-care to avoid public accountability. The Easter judgment, I can tell you, and I think you know about it. By measure, you know that thing. Now, it is your responsibility as the executive to come to committee and argue a case why you should not provide particular information in the public, because you see, it will have, you know, a substantial and serious risk to your case in a court of law. And then this committee, through the chairperson, will then reflect on the application and respect of the information that you don't want to present to us. Then we can say you are going to provide that information to us. It's encouraged at the committee. But those committees are required in terms of process.
You must.
And then
come in.
This is one perhaps easier than the other one. With the simple information that we have about the data in there, we know that officials of the department have been indicated before that officials of private sector of the data. But the same question and the same answer are any public officer involved or implicated in the report? Six, previously called for cut, that's my first question. The second question relates, if you recite the word, I think we have to carry on. The second question relates to the former CFO, acting CFO, who is now the subject of the Sydney Union. I wish to express that we perhaps did not have the required minimum qualification for this position. I'm not sure whether that is fact, but let's assume this is the situation. My question then is it the sole responsibility of the relationship of the commissioner to appoint the CFO, or is the process which goes wider than that, the minister just has a say in the matter, the HR department must confirm the appointment? How does it work in practice? Will the current, the new CFO is an appointment, has these appointments been taken by various other levels? I'm asking the question, trying to get to the point of view, but I'm sure that whoever is CFO in any department must at the least have required qualifications for the position.
Thank you. Can I get a response? Thank you, Chairperson. The process of appointing a CFO of the department follows the same usual process of advert maintaining of the required qualifications and requisite skills and experience. So, without going into how the former CFO was appointed,
maybe that's what you should go into. That's the point of interest.
I can indicate to this committee that he was already in the department as a regional committee of one of the regions, which was from Mpumalanga and Northwest. That's when he was redeployed into acting capacity as a CFO. And in redeployment, there's no process of evaluating the skills and the. It depends on the accounting officer, who shall have identified that I need the skills of this person in that post. I would not have known what considerations were made when that regional commissioner was moved into that post of CFO.
Okay. Now, in terms of the current process, or the current CFO, what was the process?
The current process, Chairperson, was an advert with a requisite skills, experience, and all that
interview is presided by the minister. Other ministers, I'm not sure how many they are, and there is a security background, and there is academic assessment as to whether he fits the profile for which the post has been advertised, and then it is Parliament that approves. It is brought here, am I right? Cabinet. The Cabinet approves the process. So those processes have been followed with respect to the current CSO process.
Are you confirming that the previous CSO's appointment was confirmed by the then minister at the time?
I can't confirm on that because we're not there. As to what happened, we are not privy to the process, Chairman.
It was a redeployment. It's needed not come to. It's like a transfer from one position to another within the same department. Transfer at a horizontal level. So at that time, he has already been confirmed by cabinet, but as a regional committee of one of the regions.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I think Honourable.
Just a minute, please. Any public office there indicated in the report?
Please. It's 2 months, 30 days in the job. So I think it's only fair and reasonable that those who have been there should be able to take the report. It will be the former CFO and the ex accounting officer that I know of. I do not know of any other public office there, except the two.
Alright, Steve?
Thank you, Chair. The software contract came to an end in July 2007. It was extended for a year, and in July 2008, the Minister wished to extend it for a further year, and it was only extended, in fact, for 6 months. But at the beginning of this year, the contract was re-awarded, beginning of 2010. In between the contract coming to an end,
we awarded to whom?
To the software. In between 2007, when the contract came to an end, and it was extended twice, and then subsequently re-awarded in 2010, the SIU became involved in investigating the initial award of the contract. And they were providing, as we've heard, reports every 3 months on the progress of that investigation. Everybody knew that there were problems with that contract. Now, Chair, what I'm about to know is who the officials in the department that authorized the re-award of that contract at a time when everybody knew that it was under investigation. Thank you. Chair, can I start with the issue about 3 months reporting? This is one matter that was never included in those internal reports because it was set at a very high level. The time we came to know about the content error, it was last year September. But,
sir, Chair, can we get confirmation on that point from the SIU?
I can confirm it was not the subject of the investigation at that point when we compiled our report. Now, when this contract was awarded for the second time, which was during the end of
other people who send the message.
No. Let's say they apply. They don't apply like any other telephone, the report that you now know. So, continue. They apply, they call in, and then
they apply, it went through the process. There was a pre-administration committee process, and they got awarded that. And I was not part of the pre-administration committee, but I can confirm that they were awarded the tender after the process.
Can we have confirmation on that, Madam Chair? That nobody in the Department of Correctional Services knew at the time when the contract was being re-awarded that it was under investigation. Because that seems to be absolutely astounding. That the original contract was being investigated by the SIU, that yet at the time that it was re-awarded, nobody on any of the committees in the DCS knew that there was a problem. Is that what we are being told?
There was knowledge that there is an investigation that is taking place around the contract relating to the system. As to the content thereof, that's where I say we were not free. And I would vouch for the former National Commissioner, whether they didn't have that information or not. Because there were meetings from time to time between SIU and the accounting officer. So it may be that they have that knowledge, it may be that they didn't have that knowledge. I do not know.
But,
but that's the point that we don't seem to be getting clarity on. Jefferson, thank you very much. I just want to put it through you to the National Commissioner and his staff that archival material will reveal a memorandum or a directive of some sort where somebody in the name of I so and so hereby redeploy Mr. Gillingham from regional manager to acting CFO. Can you kindly make that information available and source that archival material, which should be somewhere in the department because you keep this thing for 5 years? Secondly, can you also source for us this bid adjudication committee's recommendation and minutes of the meeting and all the tenders were tendered at the time, the contract that Mr. Colleague Mark Stevens referred to? Jefferson, early on we were told that there's going to be no disciplinary measures against officials who have passed away and retired. I understand if they passed away, the angels will preside. But is there any case that is being investigated by the department of unlawful enrichment by any of those persons who were in the employer of the department and where there is a recovery process in a civil trial from people who might have unlawfully enriched themselves to tenders, irregular tenders, etc., from within the department? And secondly, Chairperson, are we getting a categorical assurance from the National Commissioner and his team that they've learned lessons from all the offences and irregularities that have been identified and listed by the SIU, and they have systems in place that will avoid any of these types of irregularities reoccurring?
I can confirm to the Honourable Member that we have put systems in place to ensure that things like this do not reoccur. In the area of procurement, there is a prerequisite that people should display things that they may have revealed their relation or relationship with the leaders who have submitted applications. All of that will go to limit the risk of having officials who will be used to manipulate our procurement processes. At the same time, we have continued to educate members ones who are involved in procurement of services in our department, for them to understand the manifestation of this various levels of procurement.
I want us to make that one, because every other time you have appeared before us, there is one official who is not here. She was always very energetic. In giving long explanations about what corrective measures is put in place. Every year, you come back and she will be able to give long explanations about what was done. So, I think that one was held a long time. Amen.
Can you answer the other question? On the archival material that the information we require. And on an unlawful enrichment.
Maybe let's talk to unlawful enrichment. One of the things they have said, the redeployment is the processing of the accounting officer. Unless it's one speed, that indeed it was signed by him.
Yep. Okay, I think the unlawful enrichment is. We hear from many departments.
No, I'm saying that one of
the other one, yes.
I'm wondering. And the minute of the deed adjudication copy, I think from what we have in the SIE, it's clear that the score which has favored Mustafa. That might be the typical contract, but we know it was positive. So it will remain that comply with the legal requirements in terms of process, but it will not tell you anything.
Okay, we'll get to know who gave the big call.
Okay, fine. Let's have those two. His other name is Thomas. He wants to see. Okay, but let's talk to the self-commissioned cases. Do we have such cases? The people who have been followed up with money being paid back?
We have cases where money are being paid back, which will relate to cases of fraud where officials were found guilty. That happens even if you did not cost the department any, or you did not elect your salary, but somehow you did not comply with policy, whereby you are being found guilty. We do say we are suspending without salary. That goes for all the officials in the department. On the issue of recovery from those who have left our department, it is a matter we are pursuing. Even that one, it is not going to be dependent on, we may not know the extent of the enrichment. But there is proven evidential material of what benefit some of these people may have gotten unlawfully, which will be recovered through the AFU, other official process, through the assistance of the NPA.
Right. Manena, then.
No, the last question is mine, and I'm closing.
Okay.
Chairperson, I have been saying that the former that ex-CFO, who at the moment is no more there, was also a commissioner of the three provinces. What I want to ask the commissioner himself is, are you still going to follow that route of somebody being somebody acting as a CFO and again being a commissioner in three provinces? Why don't we make sure that we get a commissioner in each province? Those are some of the things that really are taking us back. And the other thing that I want to say to Malachi is that I thought they were going to say there are times when things are really bad to an extent that if I need to run somewhere and discuss that this case, there's a tender in my department, you are just going to know that Chilwani is the person who as big as. And enough. I'm a widow, whatever, widow is an ethnic. You will never know me. Because I meet with someone and we discuss that and we finish. It's only when real things are bad. When she really sees that mouth is going down, it's when she will say, I'm not thinking alone. I'm thinking in my mind. And sometimes even if she takes her hand out to pull me in, I make sure that I don't even come next to that pool. I don't want to drown with her. She must just think alone. So those are some of the things that we should look into, especially we members of communities. You know, I've got a very big tender, and I'm doing that with Mbili, but Mbili doesn't want to appear here. Those things are happening, so we must really take care of such things. Where people are doing things somewhere, there might be shareholders who are not on the paper. Because on the paper, I write it, you are the Malele, Khosi Kamurawa, and everything. And, but behind this, there are real people who will be coming here to fish all this money that we are getting from the government. Thank you.
And the Khosi Kamurawa. But the point was that.
That's the question. There was, I'm sorry for not remembering the name. Beautiful young or old or young woman in acting, you know, whenever the commissioner is not there, he gets to acting all along. Oh my God, the name.
All right, let's do the content.
We considered that one of the findings of the SIU was giving any commissioner improperly to receive benefits with regard to the tenders of Mustafa Group of Kamatok. Said mentioned that an improper corruption relationship between the chiefs. I understand that the commission is gone. It's gone. But I don't understand why a mention is made here that a mail, because it has been mentioned as part of the investigation that we did receive benefit. Not only killing her, including the former commissioner. Can the FIU confirm here now on record that there is no such recommendation to fire them?
That's called the fire. Chairperson, yes, I think the report we provided you picked out what our recommendations were. And I mean, we does mention names of the individuals that have in the report in front of you, mentions the two individuals that have been involved. That's what our report says.
And you are saying that report was presented to us and it was never presented to the
what I'm saying is, City Chairperson, is that the document you have in front of you that you referred to earlier was made available to the officials of DPS this morning. It wasn't discussed in the details of why.
No, I'm not talking about this compressed report. In your engagement over a period of years, you have been reporting to them 3 months, 6 months, whatever, over the period of years. I'm saying to you, was there any report in that reporting stages you were doing? Was there any report to them now that these things happened and they must be shooting at them?
Chairperson, I mentioned earlier that we report to DCS on a 3-monthly basis. The particular investigation was not usually dealt with, was not dealt with in the 3-monthly report. It was dealt with on an individual basis. It was an investigation that was dealt with a fair amount of confidentiality. Having said that, it was most certainly discussed from time to time with the department, and they were certainly aware of the investigation that was going on and the way it was headed. Chairperson, I would not be able to say offhand whether those reporting was always done in writing. But certainly the reporting on the progress in the Bosasa matter was the department was kept in the loop. Chairperson, I will leave that one-handed. But Chairperson, one of the different reports, or maybe one of the the detection center report was that Mustafa group of companies actually when they go to the first tender, as it were, they were actually involved in actually going there. They are on set. It was given to the DSP and upon that fact they go to the tender.
We just need to distinguish between there are several contacts that we're talking about in the Bosasa group, and there are several affiliates and forms of Bosasa in the investigation. With relation to the contact, there is that allegation.
The case of the security defending and the security. Can we restrict
there is the allegation, and it's confirmed by evidence review through the investigation that there was a hand and by officials of the public were handed fully in the office of the state in conjunction with the government.
Would I be right in saying that actually that is the basis now to the department upon which your CC is taking a check? It does include other methods as well?
Are you saying is that the base on which we are charging Mr. Tumina? Mr. Tumina is in charge in terms of the FIU report. That's what we say. We don't want to go to the
that's the problem. At the end of the day, the contract in question, the 4-1 amendment, was signed off by the then accounting officer, which is the one that has protection, the former commissioner. Am I right? Commissioner P.
Honorable member, I cannot recall from the top of my head, except to say that this evaluation committee would have had chairperson to sign them off. They're notified. There was that system. But he would have taken notice and those of the daily lesson for them to go ahead.
So you can't recall who actually signed this off?
Yes, no. Yes. Okay. He's saying in his last sentence that he would have noted them and signed them off. Well, they can agree with you. There is both. But yet, whatever would happen, finally, you would sign them off.
Is it better in that manner? Also, I mean, this is not, I'm suggesting that
You see, another very crucial question. We needed a lot of things so that then we're going to be able to generate a good way of asking very kind of good questions and honesty. Because a lot of the things we need are there in fact in very big institutions and I think we're going to arrive at. And my suggestion was very clear, Jeremy, on that let's set out a list of documents, of records, of correspondence that we need, a list of all the details, so that we should avoid as a committee reflecting on the names of individuals, on matters of investigation, or asking that position, the people and the investigation itself. And I said that in very mild hands, was asked for a committee member to the master like this. Because certain matters of confidentiality may have to be held by us, but be subject to investigation and not for the public. That's all I wanted to say. It is very nice initially, you know.
All right, okay, that's fine. But I think the question that is being asked more about police and practice, who signs off contract?
out I would love that in your view of what is happening in the department, you supply us with something much more sensible about it, or actually do a review on this one. Because I don't know how a corrupt tender can be defended by the department when your official has engaged in or alleged to engage in this kind of corruption. You want to defend and maintain it for that contract. I think it nullifies all the work that has been done. And I don't know how you will discipline your former CFO on that matter when you yourself are defending it in court. So for me, it's like, yes, you call the SIU, but then maybe the issue points that maybe you might not have been interested in. I would definitely want you to come back to us on this one and say, what is it that's actually? What's the contradiction? I mean, it's one government. The two cabinet ministers support one president. So DDR will say, we found corruption, we cancelled the contract. DDR will say, we found corruption, somebody wants to cancel it, was paying. I'm not referring to your attention, but I needed to help the committee, because this is exactly something in the court of law. We should have avoided to discuss in the parliament. That is the aspect. But I thought we needed to remain or comment on. Unless I'm not aware, I thought there was a matter which was from court of law. That Mr. already prepared themselves early on at one point to follow this matter. Perhaps we can have a word to gauge with the perspective of the executive, because I think we are clear in Parliament that such decisions are within the province of the executive, the president, the minister, and the official. And the perspective of the SIU is not conclusive. I wonder if could venture that even, because I'm sure the SIU, the officials, the minister, the president would also have to look at the legal and practical implications of the cancellation of the contract. Those are the issues that also Parliament must engage as we want to make a recommendation to resolve this matter in Pakistan. All right. I think the long and the short of it is upgrade that in terms of the logic of the situation. And then we'll take it up from there. But I'm sure all of us, including Advocate Mandala, are interested in taking the stand to the logic. Seeing that all other recommendations of the SIU have been the basis of the election. So they can be no decision. And the conclusions of the forensic in DCR led to a very firm and decisive action in that particular direction. And in this report, we see a number of contractors in set aside. What was the legal implication? What was the basis? Who was involved? Was it the host of the company? And now, what does it apply to the food? Those are things that are important to highlight. And I'm sure Commissioner acknowledged all the treatment that the Congress has spoken to. But maybe we can follow it up formally and say, this is what we want to have in their sense of these and that, who, where, and all that, so that we can take the process forward. I want to thank you very much, Commissioner. It's unfortunate that your first intention is about new job on matters of nation. I would certainly love to engage in much more different circumstances. But we sincerely hope that you stay the term of your contract, because in this 5 years, I'm sure you are probably the counting of Mr. Patani counters. In my 4 years as chairperson, which means the stability at the top, does not provide for strengthening of the management processes and the culture within the institution. So we're hopeful that you will be able to deal with some of these matters. Indeed, progress has been made. You need to look at the qualification issues in the department. There have been movements. Just that one individual destination. And even in relation to this matter for the FIU, I said the FIU is happy with the progress that you're making. The only thing, however, is to be able to check at what level. Maybe you are disciplining the junior guys and as it goes up, there is no movement. So those are the things that we want to clear for ourselves. We also want to say the FIU, for the time that we have taken, want to apologize for what happened 2 weeks ago. We have requested Parliament to give us a formal report on why there was that breach for the 5 minutes when we had made all the arrangements that the briefing should be given to us in a closed session. And I'm sure that as a committee, we will still want to interact with you to try and find synergy in terms of our work. And also, General, thank you. We know you're always there to reserve in case there are issues that, but equally, the issues that have been raised, I'm sure you pick up issues that are of interest and relevant to you, your regulatory body. Or it might even give you an idea in terms of the performance policy in the department. Comrades, we have a briefing by the Auditor General now, probably to take up an hour, to avoid us being here tomorrow at 11 o'clock for a briefing in terms of the two performance audits that they will need to be done. We will not do it yet, but that is not what happened 2 weeks ago. We will go to be 2 to 6, which does not have this camera for the number. I want to thank you very much, comrades, and urge you to please, let's go there, do it now, get it done with, and then we'll meet now, not soon. You can listen and come up there.